Good Tuesday, everyone. Welcome to the VolQuest.com podcast presented by our friends at Blue Water Climate Control. Be sure and check them out online at Blue Water Climate Control for all your HVAC needs. You got to have your air conditioning running right now because it is absolutely hot. So hot that even I'm hot, which is really hard to happen, right, AP? I'm typically in my hooded sweatshirt and toboggan 10 months out of the year. But hey, it's warm enough that even I'm hot right now. So make sure your AC is working. If you're having any problems, Blue Water Climate Control can take care of that, whether it's a major repair, small repair, just a general tune-up, whatever, to get your air conditioning running right. They can take care of you at Blue Water Climate Control. Again, check them out online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com or give them a buzz, 865-299-2290. With Austin Price and Rob Lewis, I'm Brent Hubbs. Plenty to get to in this edition.
Where's the airflow? Where's the airflow, Hubs?
All right, you're going to tell this story, aren't you? I mean.
I wasn't, but since you've teed me up, I will. We were headed back from SEC Media Days, and Hubs, now in defense of Hubs, he was in the slow lane, okay? And he was keeping up with the pace of traffic.
And I was in the White Rocket.
Alabama.
I was in the White Rocket, my Toyota Corolla. All 87 horsepower of it.
Yeah, you can't hide money.
We get pulled over, okay? Now, granted, we weren't in the fast lane. We weren't passing any cars. In fact, we were kind of like we were probably eight out of eight cars kind of just that were like lined up, you know, a couple car lengths apart, you know, going the same speed. So Hubs pulls over.
I was at the tail end of the lead lap in that group, but go ahead.
Yeah, you were. So Hubs pulls over. And officer gets out. You know why I pulled you over? And Brent's like, well, I guess I was going too fast. I was just keeping up with the flow of traffic. And the officer goes, where was the flow? And at this point, Hub's realizing it's just better to take my medicine. Gives him the ID, and he goes back there. Comes back, nice gentleman. Tennessee's in a Tennessee plated car. Comes back, gives Hubs a warning, and we continue about our day. But it was still just, where's the flow?
I think it was because Austin told him he knew Jeremy Pruitt, and it was around Fort Payne, Rainsville.
Now, I will say this. I was trying to show Hubs the spaceship launch on YouTube, and apparently he felt like he was in a rocket and gassed the pedal. So,
AP, how many miles do you think we've traveled thousands of miles together. How many miles do you think you spent in the slow lane would be?
A zero. Zero. I did tell Hubs, I said, if that had been Rob, he would have passed all those cars and we would have run from the cops like Bo and Luke running from Roscoe.
So no ticket, was speeding, got away with it with a nice warning from a very fine officer and a gentleman on I-59. So we appreciate him taking care of us with a warning after we were speeding, but I was with the flow of traffic. Austin Price, as you would attest, as my witness, I was in the flow of traffic. Speaking of the flow, the question is, what's the flow of the SEC? So we'll start there in this edition of the podcast, as we'll get to what everybody wants to talk about, which is sports and not my poor driving habits. All right, Rob Lewis, I hadn't had a chance to really get to your take of this. I know Austin and I talked about it on Outkick last Friday, but your takeaways from Oklahoma and Texas, and how much do you buy into the notion that the SEC will not be done with just two teams? Of course, Texas and Oklahoma telling the Big 12 they have no desire to renegotiate or be a part of things after the TV contract and everything ends in 25. They have formally filed that with the Big 12, which says, hey, we're out. So what do you make of the reality there for that? And B, do you think the SEC's done, or is this really Greg Sankey going to try to get his conference to take over the college football world?
You know, one of my first reactions after hearing and reading about it when it came out that allegedly talks had been going on for a year was that it was kept quiet.
Yeah, that is amazing.
You know, nothing trickled out about it. That was, you know, I think that's borderline amazing in this day and age that, you know, somebody somewhere didn't overhear something they weren't supposed to, or, you know, or somebody just couldn't resist, you know, passing along. But beyond that, I mean, talking about a revenue monster. I mean, this is the SEC is not that it already wasn't, you know, at the top of the food chain, but now it's going to be a monolith now. And I don't see any way it doesn't kill the Big 12 personally. I mean, I think you'll see that break apart. And, you know, nobody knows this for sure, but doesn't it feel like this was maybe the first step and the SEC absolutely just take it over the sport officially instead of an unofficial capacity, like, you know, kind of like they have now?
Well,
if you're going to go to 16, why not go to 20? I mean, you've thrown out the notion that everybody's going to play everybody or even come close when you get to 16 teams in football. So just go for it.
Well, you saw Jay Billis come out on Monday and say that, you know, the ACC ought to push the SEC for a merger, you know, with all the built-in rivalries and geographical locations that are similar. That way it kind of piggybacks what the SEC is doing. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think this – I think this is the first domino. I think you're going to see more than just the two. And we'll be interesting to see how it plays out, how it's structured. How do they break up the divisions or pods or however they're going to do it?
Yeah, you know, I think what Hubber said in the chat tonight was something, you know, that I agreed with when I saw it, was if they go with pods, that I think highly suggests that they're not done, as opposed to if they go with divisions. I mean, it wouldn't make it impossible no matter what they do, but I think if they go with pods, that maybe suggests that they are already planning on more acquisitions. You mentioned the ACC and basketball. There's already several states that have one school in each conference. You know, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida. That one's, you know, that wouldn't be much of a stretch to see.
Well, no, I mean, you're exactly right, especially with the fact that A&M and now Texas will be in the same state. You already had Auburn and Alabama, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, you know, that were kind of always built in. But now all of a sudden, you know, Texas and Texas A&M both come from the same state within, you know, a decade of each other. You know, how quickly do you see, you know, a further expansion into South Carolina with a Clemson or into Florida with a Miami or Florida State or, you know, so on and so forth, Georgia with Georgia Tech. You know, I do think, you know, Arkansas State, Butch would love to be back in the SEC.
Hunter, I wanted to ask you, I mean, if you're Clemson, I mean, I bet the revenue difference is massive. Is it massive enough to offset what you're pulling in from college football playoffs every year?
I don't know.
A cakewalk.
Yeah, that's a great question. And the one thing I don't know is, you know, in the SEC, they cut the pie. You know, they divide the pie. Some of these other conferences, it's a little top heavy. You know, with certain teams, meaning it's not an equal. It's not always just a dead equal revenue split. So I don't know how the ACC is structured with their rev share. I just think that there's so much money with the SEC. And again, with where the NCAA feels like it's going, which is into the vast wasteland in a lot of ways, Austin. I mean, I don't even know if there's going to be a committee on infractions in the NCAA a year from now. You know, I don't know what kind of, you know, where the NCAA is going to be. And if that's the case, if you're a player in college football, I mean, a big time player, I think you're clawing your way to do everything you can to try to get to the SEC just to make sure you've got a seat at the table. Because if the NCAA, and maybe I'm wrong here, okay, and then you guys tell me I'm wrong, it's not going to offend me. I mean, in any way, but if the NCAA loses its teeth, then to me, isn't Greg Sankey and the SEC controlling college football? I mean, isn't that what's going to happen? Don't you want a seat at that table if you're in the ACC as a football powerhouse, or if you're in another conference as a legitimate football school? Don't you feel like you're sitting there as an AD going, I got to get to that table? Because it kind of feels like it's going to be Big Ten versus SEC when it's all
said. That's exactly what it's going to be. Exactly what it's going to be. I mean, I guess in theory you potentially could have part of the Big 12 go to the Big Ten, part of it go to the Pac-12. You know, I know Pac-12 seems weak in certain sports, but it's not like you can put like Ohio State in with USC. Like somebody, there's going to have to be some type of league out west. So, like, you know, whether it's called the Pac-12 or something else, I do think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see teams like, you know, I mean, like if you were in the ACC and you did want to merge some schools with the SEC, and like Boston College doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So maybe they go to the Big Ten, you know, if that happens. I just think it's going to switch and change drastically. I know that was asked in the chat, you know, I mean, yeah, potentially, you know, as you said, they may not even have a governing body to rule on infractions a year from now. Tennessee's not doing that. If Tennessee's doing anything, they're dragging this out because they're trying to get as much ammunition to make sure they don't have to pay Jeremy Pruitt a dime. It has nothing to do with, you know, playing, you know, underwater checkers or chess or whatever that guy said. You know, they're not that smart to drag it out thinking that they're not going to get hit with any kind of penalty if they just continue it on.
I mean, Hubbard, to your point, with the kind of – I mean, especially if they're not done, and even if they don't add Clemson, I mean, even if it's, you know, Florida State, Miami, you know, Virginia Tech or something. I mean, why would that coalition of schools that are going to be raking in as much money as they're going to be raking in be beholden to the NCAA, you know, to be their governing body to tell them what to do on anything?
I mean, I'm with you. I mean, we all know that the NCAA doesn't want to get sued because they've lost seemingly every lawsuit that's been thrown their way recently. And I just don't see where they're going to be. You know, I mean, somebody's got to govern something at some point, you know what I mean? Just like at some point you got to be in a conference where you can beat somebody too. I mean, you know, that's just kind of what all this is going to come down to. I don't think you can have a conference of 28 or 30 teams, but I mean, if you're the SEC, you're right. If you're going to 16, why not go to 20? If the other four are Clemson, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, for example, just, you know, from a geography standpoint, why not? Right. What's the difference to me? I mean, and that's,
yeah.
I mean,
there's already going to be seven. Even if you go to a 9-game conference schedule, that's going to leave 6 teams in the league that you don't play. What's the difference in not playing, you know, 10 teams? I mean, is it really that vast? And in basketball, it would be, you know, you could get creative and it wouldn't be, you know, you could play a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. You just wouldn't play a lot of people twice, but you could, yeah. I mean, you could play a lot of people. Without any doubt. So, I mean, it's happening. I don't think anybody's suggesting that it's not happening. So, everybody get on board with it or retire like the AD at Missouri did, right? Just walk out with 2 years left on your deal going, I'm good, you know? But it's going to happen. What it's going to look like, Austin, you're exactly right. I don't know. And Austin, the more I look at this, the more I agree with what you said on Friday. I mean, it only makes it harder for teams to try to claw their way to the top. If you're a team trying to get back, whether you do pods, whether you do divisions, pods probably makes it a little easier, you know, than the divisions, as you were talking about on Friday and Outkick. But the more I look at it, it's a hard road back for anybody if you're just adding the ranks of those people. Even if you don't play, you know, that. I mean, if you're playing an 8 or 9 game schedule, it's going to be hard to get back. It's a real challenge. And we'll see where Tennessee's at and whenever all this, you know, comes down, when everybody's into place. In the meantime, Tennessee is trying to get ready to start fall camp, and they're getting themselves ready to go a week from Wednesday. We'll have, obviously, all the coverage of that. Josh Heupel to meet the media a week from Tuesday, where he'll be talking about, I'm sure, vaccinations and quarterbacks and all of that, those types of things. But Tennessee's roster appears to be set at this point. Doesn't seem to be any more defections, and we'll see what happens, you know, with Tennessee on what Josh Heupel has to say. But this is, you know, the final calm before the storm. This is the don't get anybody hurt in the weight room. Nobody pull a muscle. Nobody getting any of those things done, but before you get going, with that. So we'll have continued coverage. Our continued positional previews will roll on throughout the remainder of this week. And then obviously leading up to the press conference on Tuesday and leading up to the first practice on Wednesday. On the recruiting front, Austin, you can open up things in recruiting this week. And then there's news out there. Obviously, we got Walter Nolan's in East Tennessee officially. And then you got Addison Nichols putting out a commitment date on when he's going to do something. And then Tennessee's hoping to have some prospects in town this weekend as well. So this is a pretty hectic little week for colleges, including Tennessee, and possibly a newsy week for Tennessee, right?
AP, you got Walter squared away in the basement there?
I don't have a basement in my house, Rob. But no, he's not here.
I don't think Austin's going to be Uncle Austin with Walter.
I thought he could have get him Cade's old room.
Go ahead, AP.
Now, you know, Cade swings by when he's on the bender. I'm playing. Walter Nolan, I've just tried to caution everybody because, again, I think it's somebody asked a great question in the chat and kind of labeled, like, is this, that, or option C? And to me, it is option one. It is, you know, a lot of the flipping of predictions and all that based off the fact that he's moving to Knoxville, Tennessee to play his senior year. And, you know, again, Tennessee's in it. When I think they're in the top three, sure. I'll give Tennessee the top three. You know, but at the end of the day, there's only one position. That's number one. Tennessee get there. I mean, we'll see. I mean, kid likes Rodney Garner. But this thing's going to have 5,000 twists and turns between now and December. So, you know, I'm not going to, you know, get because few predictions flip around. I mean, they'll flip back around. Everybody had him pegged to go to Florida, you know, 6 weeks ago. So, we'll see what happens. As for Addison Nichols, I mean, I don't know. We've kind of spelled that out in the war room for several weeks since he's in excellent shape there. And then, you know, we'll see if anybody else, you know, pulls the trigger over the next, you know, week or so. Tennessee's going to have, you know, several 23s on campus coming up Saturday for their little, you know, cookout or whatever it's called. You know, and so, you know, getting a couple of 22s in town from the state of Georgia. We'll have full names of that coming up later in the week in the war room. And we'll see, you know, what else goes on from there. But, you know, it's relatively quiet outside of just a few names that potentially could pop. And that's just, you know, just kind of the nature of the beast at this point. You know, Tennessee just didn't have a huge board of names that they're out there on. I think Alec A.O. Manor, I've got the pronunciation down on that one. I've honed in on that. I do think he does something at the latest, the second week of August, at the latest.
And Tennessee's dead in the middle of that one, right? Tennessee-Stanford, is that the final two?
Yeah, I mean, yes, in my opinion, it is. I mean, he's never going to say that. Maybe he'll release a top two or three at some point in the next, you know, couple of weeks. But, you know, I expect him to, you know, come to a decision sometime not around, you know, early to mid-August.
AP, you know, you got to have three hats on the table. At least you got to at least have three hats on the table.
Depends on what two they are.
Well, are you going to go two and have one in the bag underneath the table?
Oh,
that you pull out, you know, I mean, that's the popular trend. That's the popular way to go right now. AP, I mean, in seeing the fact that this whole week is open in recruiting, I mean, kids can come on campus and be on campus all week long. I mean, it feels like it's pretty slow, not just for Tennessee, but for a lot of people around the country because kids are in high school.
Yeah, because all these high school kids are.
It's just hard, yeah. Right?
It is. I think what you'll see is kids Thursday, Friday, Saturday, those days. But even then, like, you know, you guys know, you have boys that are playing. What's going to happen Friday? In most instances, I know a few scrimmages are going
to happen. They want to go to the pool.
Well, but kids are scrimmaging Friday. Right. You know, who's West scrimmage Friday, Rob?
Jeff County.
Yeah. See, and I'm sure Gibbs kept scrimmaging somebody too. So yeah, I mean,
Gatlinburg Pittman. So who wants to get up Saturday and go somewhere?
Yeah. You know. And so it's just hard. I mean, it's just like Tennessee playing that Thursday game, you know, to open the season. You're not going to see a lot of recruits in town because they're going to be playing the next night.
But, why open this? Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. That's why I think Tennessee needs to really push that September 2nd game to be Walter Nolan night at Neyland Stadium, because he can come over, go through that 4 o'clock walkthrough at Powell, and then mosey on over to the stadium for a game, the first game of the Josh Heupel era. You know, it'll be a good atmosphere. It should be a game Tennessee can win. I would work really hard if I'm Rodney Garner in Tennessee to make sure Walter Nolan is in the stands for September 2nd, because he can be. Go ahead.
Yep, that's a good point. If you're the NCAA, of course, I know I just talked about how they had no juice, but why open up this week? What do you think that the rationale for opening this week up?
Well, it's been like this last several cycles outside of minus last year.
Right.
I think it's just to give everybody one last little chance to go in before, you know, everybody is in fall camp, you know, because, you know, while most, you know, aren't going to be able to make it, there are instances where kids can. So it gives you just another little bit of a window to go do this stuff.
Yeah. I think that just
– it is asking, hard.
It's asking
puts
a lot.
Puts the kids in a tough spot.
Yeah, it does. It puts them in a tough spot with – because it's the first week – in Tennessee, it's the first week in pads. You know, it's a bit of a challenge. But
I bet a lot of college coaches don't love it. Because you'd have to work because you're afraid somebody else is working. And you don't want to get behind or be perceived as not pushing kids as hard.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that it's a popular week. I don't know how beneficial ultimately it is. We'll see what the names look like for Tennessee when this weekend comes about and kind of what they get out of it or they don't get out of it with the 22s and 23s.
I do think it's easier to get kids, you know, anybody that's doing a Saturday deal, a lot easier. Scrimmage on Friday or practice, depending on where you're at. You go, nobody's practicing or scrimmaging on Saturday unless you're, you know, Clinton versus Morristown East. Those two teams are scrimmaging on Saturday. But in most instances, they're not. So it is easy to get kids to come on a Saturday, spend 4 or 5 hours, then go back home, and then they're right back to practice on Monday, and no high school coach is out any kind of time with his kid.
Yep, that's true. You know, it's just a commitment to do something on Saturday, but that's certainly doable. All right, Rob, let's jump to hoops. And I know there's not a whole lot changing on the recruiting board there, but I want to ask you, what's the story with Keon Johnson and Springer, particularly Keon Johnson? I mean, is this a situation where he's having bad workouts or he's creating some doubt in workouts, or is this a situation that's a classic kind of draft time deal where, you know, everybody's picked every scab potentially out there about a guy and all of a sudden you got some posturing by, you know, talking about this guy's falling and that type of thing. What do you think's going on there?
I'm like you, I'm not shocked about Jaden. I always thought he was, you know, 25-ish. That kind of player. I'm really surprised.
Don't tell Tampa Bay Trey that. Do not tell Tampa Bay Trey.
I think Jaden's a really good player. I just, you know, just the dynamics aren't there, the NBA guys.
Tweener. He's the ultimate tweener. Good at everything. Great at anything.
Yeah. I mean, I think Jaden's going to be a fine NBA player. But I it's not just because I think Keon is really good. I mean, I don't think Keon is going to help anybody tremendously right away, other than as a defensive player. I completely acknowledge the warts in his game, and he needs to tighten up his handle. He didn't shoot it great last year. But I also remember seeing, you know, Tennessee play Kawhi Leonard in the NCAA tournament when he was at San Diego State, and he was a freshman, and he looked like a giraffe walking on ice and couldn't throw it in the ocean. Shot like 23% from three-point range. There are numerous examples of guys being able to improve their shot at the next level. Numerous examples. And I just think – I don't know if this is accurate. I think Keon's lack of skill development has hurt him. And I think he's been in some workouts with some guys who are more polished, who are more, you know, more able to help right away. And I think that you're seeing where teams value shooting with some, because some of the names that I see moving past Keon, where he was way ahead of, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, there were guys like Moses Moody at Arkansas who can stroke it. The kid Cam Thomas at LSU, who is a big time scorer already. But I'm telling you, man, if Keon falls to the neighborhood of 20, I think somebody has gotten a long-term steal. I mean, I would be really surprised if he's not a very, very good NBA player for a long time. I don't think he's ever be the best player on a good team, but I think he could be the second or third best player on a really good team. Somebody like Andre Iguodala that you know, plays with some great offensive players and is just a shutdown defensive guy. But bottom line, I think it's skill development, but the way that that still surprises me, because so often you see at least, you know, certain NBA front offices just value the physical tools so much and have a firm belief and confidence that they can develop the skill set.
But it just could all be posturing as well for either kid. You know,
and again, this is all mock drafts. I mean, this is not any NBA GM coming out and saying something.
Because all it takes is one. All it takes is one, you know, team liking Jaden or Keon to go higher than what they're, quote, projected. And, you know, you see a lot of posturing this time of year. Eh, I don't really like him, when they really do, because they don't, you know, they want anybody to know who they like.
Yeah, there's definitely some of that going. And that's what I was curious to see. If, you know, if this was just a case where once they got past the measurables, it was let's kind of find every wart and pick at every wart, and as well as a little bit of potential posturing out there. Rob, one other thing on Hoops recruiting. I think this was new this year, if I read this right. NBA scouts were at the Peach Jam.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Is that a good thing, you think? I mean, is there any negative to it? I mean, I guess
I don't think there's a negative to it. I mean, I think it's definitely a good thing for the NBA. Them out and
do what
it was kind of interesting. Also, I don't think it's a huge deal, and I think it's a good thing, especially for the NBA. I mean, it helps them out tremendously to kind of start building their database a year early with some eyewitness accounts. And I thought it was a little odd this year that they stuck to it, though, because they limited, you know, how many people could be in there. It was virtually impossible to get a media credential. Reason I wasn't able to get one. And I know a couple of NBA scouts that they basically alternated whether it was NBA scouts or college coaches who could be there, because they had to keep them. But during the week, the NBA scouts were there, and then they had to bail out, and the college coaches were there on the weekends.
Interesting. But that's happened before?
Not at the Peach Jam. Now, they've been able to go to the NBA Players Association camp
right
in years past for part of it. But, no, that's a new thing for the Peach Jam.
Well, you think that'll continue to broaden out to a lot of other select tournaments moving forward?
I don't know if they'll do it with all other select tournaments moving forward. I mean, I don't really see a negative to it.
I don't either.
Also think it makes a lot of sense at the Peach Jam and the NBA Players Camp I'm talking about, just because there's such a collection of talent. You know, I don't know how many NBA guys would show up at, you know, something that was not like a major showcase event. And the Nike deal was different this year because they kept them in one place. They didn't play, you know, normally they play four big tournaments in their EYBL. They'll play in Atlanta. They'll play up in Hampton, Virginia. They'll play, you know, maybe in Lexi, Kentucky or Dallas, and then they'll play. They always wind up at the Peach Jam. Instead, this year they just went to Augusta and stayed there.
They just all played there the whole time.
Stayed there for 11 days.
All right. Yeah. Anything new on the Hoops recruiting front? I mean, I don't want to beat that horse. That horse. If there's not a whole lot there, but it seems like it's kind of been status quo, right? Which is normal.
Yeah, nothing major. They'll be the whole entire staff will be in Orlando. This weekend or this week, that's when the NBA Players Association camp, which is normally in June, was moved to, and it's normally at UVA in Charlottesville. It was moved to Orlando where they had the NBA bubble last season, and the entire Tennessee staff is there as we're recording this, looking at multiple guys.
Let's talk about the real deals. Why is Josh Shelby on the Tennessee Volunteers?
I didn't. You know, I guess they were looking for a point guard. That one surprised me. Little surprise that the Volunteers went down so easy?
Where's Melvin
going? I'll tell you one thing Bobby told me. Melvin was supposed to play. He was supposed to play from what I heard. I tell you, Bobby was really disappointed. Not, you know, not mad at him. He understood why. But who he really wanted on the team that he felt could have made a huge difference was Kyle Alexander. And I would agree with him. That would have been a big addition. I don't know if anybody's seen Kyle lately, but if you want to Google some YouTube clips from this past year in Europe and compare it to when he was a freshman, it's hard to believe it's the same person.
A little bit of development going on physically, right?
Yes, very much so.
So we'll continue to follow basketball recruiting for you. We'll continue to follow football recruiting. We'll continue to follow plenty of football stuff as fall camp gets opened up as well. But that's going to do it for this Tuesday edition. By the way, shout out to Coach Clark. Congratulations, right?
On becoming
a dad. So congratulations to
his wife, Alexis.
Yep.
Congrats, Coach.
Yep. Congratulations to them. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Blue Water Climate Control Volquist.com podcast. For Austin Price and Rob Lewis,
I'm your Lightning McQueen.
I'm like, just rolling with the flow, AP. That's going to do it for this podcast. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.